Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. We're talking about Madame Bovary as a whole, the whole book. We finished it. Well done, everybody. Good book. I liked this book. It's one of my preferred ones from the list so far. Kind of didn't realize until the end that I did like this book, but I did like it. Had some gripes with it early on, as I usually do, but refreshingly easy to read and not too in your face, not too preachy, not too boring. Yeah, I liked it. Poor Birth. That was my discussion prompt. Also, how did you like the book and how did you like the ending? Starfall 15 said, oh my God, said, I loved that Emma was such an unlikable character that Flaubert stayed resolute till the end with this portrayal. No sudden last-minute vault face in the characterization of Emma. Yeah. Yeah, he didn't really give you any sort of satisfaction, you know, as a reader. He was very withholding of any, like, hell yeah kind of moments. You know, you, like, sometimes you just want to have the readers go, yeah, high five, and, like, have a little moment to celebrate in a book. But he didn't give us that, because that's not how the story went. And I like that. By the way, my brain is not quite working. I actually started the podcast like four times in a row just now because I kept like stumbling over my words immediately. I'm like, is my brain offline? Am I having a stroke? What's going on here? I never do that, by the way. I just press record and away I go. Very, very rarely will I be like, oh, I'm not happy with that intro and start again, like if I just get off on a bad foot. And then once I'm 2 minutes into a podcast, there's no way I'm restarting from there. But yeah, no, so that was weird. I restarted a bunch of times, and that was why when I started reading before, I was like, oh my God, because like, I'm like, am I still stumbling over my words? What's going on, brain? Also, this podcast is brought to you by the beverage Hot Chocolate, which is just so good right now. Oh my God. Sorry for the slurping, but it's very hot and there's no way to really drink it other than by a slurp when it's that hot. And I could let it cool down, sure. Or I could just not drink a beverage while I do a podcast. That was also an option. But it tastes like chocolate. So, you know, would you be not drinking it? Even though it's burning my throat as I swallow it? My hands are tied here. I can't not drink a hot chocolate. Burnies. Ooh, that's a good burn though. Why do I do this to myself? All right, brain, come on. Let's do brain things. We finished this book. I really like this book. I'm excited to do a wrap-up episode about it. But at the same time, my brain just does not want to function right now. And I'm actually dreading that after this podcast, I'm going to press stop. And then I'm pretty much going to hit record again and dive into the next book and read the first chapter of the next book on the next episode of the podcast. As you guys would know, on the day when we finish one book and start the next, it's a double podcast day. And I'm just hoping that during the course of this, my brain wakes up. Okay, what else did Starfall 15 say? As for Charles, I remember the teacher back in high school pointing out that everyone reads this book expecting Emma to be the main romantic figure. But, in fact, it is Charles who is all along. His love for Emma didn't even lessen after meeting her lover face to face. Flaubert gave Emma the agonizing, painful death, while for Charles he bestowed him a peaceful one in his garden. The book starts and ends with him. As for the ending, sorry everyone, but this is an ending, Mr. Tolstoy. There is a book, I didn't read myself, but that tackles the life of Bert after the death of her parents, Madame Bovary's Daughter by Linda Erbach. Anyone will be watching any of the adaptations, Madame Bovary by Claude Carbarol in 1991, or The German-American by Sophie Barthes in 2014. I kind of assumed there would be movies of it, or film adaptations, but hadn't really thought of it till now. So yeah, I will check one of those out. Suppose I'll just have a look at which one looks like the better production and give it a watch. I have started watching. I watched the BBC War and Peace. That was excellent, by the way. But I am watching now the Russian one from the 60s. And oh my God, it looks so good. Like, if that film came out in the 2000s, you'd still say, whoa, this looks fantastic. It just looks insane. So it blows my mind that they pulled this off way back then. And that it didn't win like every award, because I don't know. Like, you know how people talk about, like, is it American Psycho? I think how it's like an early 90s film. I thought, wait, I might have that wrong. American Psycho 2000, it's from the 2000 film. And I don't know, someone, I remember someone just talking about how it just looks so much more modern than it was. Although 2000 is pretty modern. Maybe I've got my example wrong. Anyway, you get that feeling with this. Like, it looks like Lord of the Rings, you know. And there's a 4K version of it that's rumored to be out there in the world somewhere. I don't know quite how you can get your hands on it, but they've got the original film and scanned it in 4K, which would just be so good to watch. The version that I got of it, it's good, but they only translated... No, wait. They dubbed some of the... They dubbed the Russian into English, right? But the French, they did not. There's something weird. No, sorry. There's subtitles for the Russian. There's subtitles for the Russian... But then the French is dubbed in Russian dubs. So they're talking Russian and then there's subtitles into English. But then when they talk French, there's like a second vocal that comes over the top of the movie in Russian. So it just sounds like two people are talking at the same time and you can't understand either of them. And for some reason, when that happens, you're hearing French and Russian both saying the same thing. But then in those moments, there's no subtitles. So it's like whenever they speak French, I just get this like cluster of stuff that I can't understand. And there's quite a lot of French in the film. So I'm like, I think I have to source a better version of this. Oh my God, it tastes so good. You just drink it and it's just good. Anyway, went on a little War and Peace rabbit hole there. That happens occasionally. By the way, I just want to say thank you to everyone who's just coming on this journey. It just kind of blows my mind. We're now like nine books. That was the ninth book of the Hemingway list. 10 if you count War and Peace. And there's just people that have just been in this since the start. And that is so cool. I also would like to thank the people who sponsor the creation of this podcast and the upkeep of this subreddit via Patreon / the Hemingway list. You know, it's just a little bit of money here and there, but it covers the costs of like the podcast hosting, and it kind of, you know, helps me to commit so much time to doing this and to keep the whole thing running. So I do appreciate those people that support the podcast and the community like that. Swims to the Mama Fishy said, this was an amazing book. Thanks, Ander. I would never have read it if it wasn't for this subreddit. Thank you, Swims to the Mama Fishy, and I appreciate you thanking me. That's very nice of you. And Rathia said, yes, poor Bert. Something about Bert's fate bothers me, but I'm not sure what it is. Sometimes parents invest in their children selfishly, such as when parents live vicariously through children's lives or put high expectations on their children, but Bert was just ignored. Yeah, that's the most tragic part of this book, isn't it? That poor kid. Parents just dropping, dying, grandparents dying, everyone's dying, and meanwhile, she's not getting educated and, you know, I don't know. You just feel so bad. I'm interested in this book that Starfall mentioned. What was it called? Madame Bovary's Daughter by Linda Erbach. And I don't know if I'll read it, but I kind of just want to read a synopsis of it to see what happened to that poor child. And I know it's probably more like fan fiction than anything. How would Linda Erbach know what happened? But still, I need to see a synopsis of that, I think. I like this book very much. It says Adrathia. The style, while brilliant, also makes this book a downer. I didn't always want to read it. Flaubert will describe something wonderfully romantic and then, with the same detailed language, describe something painfully mundane. He does it well and he does it relentlessly. As the reader, I was enticed with a little bit of escapism and then bam, realism every time. The ending, in which Homais receives the Cross of Legion of Honour, is hilarious if you are cynical. I was in a cynical frame of mind after, and because of the book, I was in a cynical frame of mind after, and because of reading this book, so I think it works. You know, I had the idea, reading that last chapter, that Flaubert was trying to make a point, a local point, like this Homais guy was a stand-in for someone doing those things in Flaubert's community or in France at that time, or maybe there even is a real Homais in the real life, but it just kind of felt like he was making a bit of a point from the real world, tacking it in via this guy, Homais. But I don't actually know. I've got no basis for that. It just seems like that's what it felt like. Thank you for organising this reading project. My pleasure. Thanks to the subreddit, I have now read Anna Karenina and Madame Bovary. Both books had been collecting dust on my shelf, and now I can display the cracks in their spines. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you. And I do hope you keep reading with us. Jump into some Stendhal with us. Who knows, it might be good. Swim said the mum... Oh, I've already read that one, never mind. Acoustic Eel says, I enjoyed the book and the ending. No deuce ex machina, get out of debt free cards. A couple of good deaths and life goes on in the village after the protagonists have passed away. I enjoyed Homais keeping up his usual tricks, writing for the local paper, filling the vacuum left by Charles, and hustling to get his Cross of the Legion of Honour. I was moved when Charles ran into Rudolph and it said he would have liked to be this man. That hit me hard. I wish I could have read it as someone from the time who had never read fiction like it before, using those new styles and whatever else that made this book so cutting edge. Excuse me. Yeah, I know, it's hard to keep that in mind, isn't it? Like, nothing is groundbreaking about this novel for us, but to think, like, that it was groundbreaking and that those people were experiencing that for the first time, you know? Like when you went and saw The Matrix. When I was 14 years old, I went and saw The Matrix. The year 2000, I think it was. Or 99, I think The Matrix came out. And just came out of the theatre. Like, I didn't know that kind of visual could exist. Like, my eyes were like, I didn't think I'd ever see that. It kind of messed with my brain. Because before The Matrix, you'd never seen something, anything like that, you know. Special effects were made to kind of, I don't know, have like fictional, you know, ghosts or like CGI looking things, but to just kind of bend reality, my brain was just like, oh, whoa, reality's bending, this is weird. My brain like couldn't take it in. And that's, but now it's been done so much that my brain, or our brains, are it's just normal to see, you know, bullet time or slow-mo stuff or whatever. And so it's really hard to go back and experience, like, for these people, nothing like this existed until it existed. And then, you know, their poor little brains had to get wrapped around it. Coralette said, indeed, Berthe got screwed by her parents' selfishness and short-sightedness. Charles could have sold Emma's things and accepted help from his mum, but he was too caught up in his unrequited love for his dead wife to think about his daughter. I'm so mad at both of them. I found the book solidly meh. I enjoyed many parts of it, but nothing really stood out to me. I liked the ending. I always prefer grim endings to grim books. Happy endings out of nowhere are so sappy. Charles, you know, you just kind of... When people are so in their head about love, about grief, you know, how do you... You can't just sort of break them out of it. But you also wish you could and just be like, oh, I wish you could just see this from the outside and move on. But it's a frustrating thing to watch, isn't it? The way he killed himself, essentially, slowly. He just wasted away from grief over years. And you just think, oh, come on, man. Like, sure, be sad. But don't be sad at the expense of yourself. Because I don't see how that's beneficial to anything or anyone. anyway. Long comment from Our Treat, which I won't read at the moment because I do want to get a wriggle on with this next book. But Our Treat rated the book 3 stars, which apparently, according to Goodreads, means I liked it. It's a long and thorough analysis. That's why I love this subreddit. Like, that's a great comment. I'm not going to read it because it's quite long. But, you know, we just have like essays about each and every chapter of these great books. We're really mastering these texts. Laura Y. Stitch said, Homais was amazing in this chapter. I just became worse and worse, and then the book even ends with him. His conflict with the blind guy was so mean. Great how everything came together. The book feels more about Charles when you look at it from a beginning and end perspective, though. Yeah, I think so. I think, it is kind of more about Charles. Charles is the bookend. The book ends. But I think when you talk about a person's life that starts and ends, you kind of want to see, well, what effect does that life of Miss Madame Bovary have coming into a life fresh? Like, his life without her is this, and then she comes in and that's how it changes. And then after she exists, after she dies, I should say, what effect did she have there? And so we can kind of contextualize her within the life of another person. And I kind of feel like you even get to know her better via that way. So so who is the main character? Yeah, hard to say. But I would say, yeah, probably Charles. But I do also probably feel like I know Madame Bovary on a deeper level than I know Charles. So it's interesting to think about that. All right, we've done it. Another book bites the dust. Another one checked off the list. We're going to start reading Stendhal. I'm literally going to end this episode, post it up, and then just dive straight into the next book. The Red and the Black. Let me have a look at this. I'm just having a little look at this book. It's quite a long book. One, two, three, four. Okay, yeah, we'll read the whole first chapter. It's only 4 pages. Very cool. All right, anyway, that's neither here nor there because it's a whole different episode. I will see you then. Thanks for listening.